Good morning once again. Let's open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, as we continually look at the section of Scripture that we're in here. We're going to look at the final three parts in our duties to the church family. Go ahead and grab your outline. So let me have you find your place. Romans 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 13 this morning, so just be right there at the beginning of the chapter. Like I said, grab your outline, and we're going to look at the final three points that we've been looking at in our duties into the church family. We've been a long time in all of this, so there's a lot going on. This is part six, right? We're in part six. Just a heads up from the teaching from God's Word this morning in today's message, we will make that will be our focus in our communion service. We're going to do that after the message today. A little different of a service, but just kind of prepare yourself. So what we're going to talk about today from the Word of God, about what God tells us about in our life and about the life of the church and how we live it, what it represents, all we're going to dig into all of that. It's going to be what we're going to remember Christ for, because here's the thing that I want to encourage us in today. We remember Christ, that he gave his life as a ransom for many. We remember the bread that represents his life, and the cup that represents his death. And not only did he purchase our eternal life, right? Did not only give us the opportunity to believe in him and his death and resurrection so we could be saved by God and have a relationship with God. That eternal life started at the moment that we got saved, right? You have that life now. And so we want to remember, as we focus on this, that when we remember Christ, we remember that he changed your life, a transformed life, the moment you got saved. He's not in the sense saying, well, when you get to eternity, when you get to heaven, when you get out there, then we'll live differently. Here, we just live the way we live. It really impacted the church. It really, really impacted the believers in the life that they live. And so as we remember Christ today, that's going to be a focus of ours as we look at this. To start, I want you to look at your bulletin and just hold that up. Just look at the front side there. The Apostle Paul wrote about the church a lot in all the things that he wrote, but look at the front of your bulletin in 1 Timothy 3:15. He said, he writes to this church, to Timothy, and then wants Timothy to share it with the church, so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and support of the truth. Very important passage in Scripture, but the Apostle Paul always had a great concern for the life of the church, the way we live our life as God's household, he calls us, as the church of the living God, as the pillar and support of God's truth. Now, we know that we want to support God's truth, right? If everybody can play the pillar for me, okay? Can everybody be a pillar today? Come on, help me. We want a pillar. We want to be a support of God's truth, right? Right. We want to hold up the truth of God against error, that kind of thing. But what I want us to focus on here, and it's in Romans and it's in a lot of places, is to be the support and the pillar of God's truth. How we support is by the way I conduct my life. You really, when push gets to shove, the way you live your life is what you support about God's truth. If you live the way you want to live and you live with, whatever, it supports that. It supports whatever you think is true. And so what we're looking at here is what God is teaching us through his word and through Romans. What the Apostle Paul is wanting us to see is that the way we live our life really supports, as a pillar, we ought to conduct our lives to support the truth of God's word, is basically what I'm getting to. Basically, the church of the living God, us, and the way we live our lives is obligated to represent the truth of God's word. Wouldn't you agree? And how he wrote in the Word of God on how we should live. Wouldn't you agree with that? I'm sure we would. The way we live our life supports what we believe God says about the way we live our life. Now, we're not perfect at it, but we're in the midst of journeying through here. Same thing here in Romans chapter 12, whereas we've been digging into all of this in our duties to living a transformed life. So I want you to hear it. Chapter 12, verse 1 through 13, I want you to hear it again, God's word, and hear the way we should live our lives to be the pillar and support of God's truth. Listen to what he says, chapter 12, verse 1 and following. He says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of yourself or of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Verse 4 says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly, if prophecy, according to proportion of faith, if service, in his serving, or if he teaches, in his teaching, or if he exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who sows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." Sounds like a way of life to me. How about you? The Word of God, speaking to our lives about, hey, you're going to be a pillar in support of the truth of God and His Word. There's going to be a way that you live, and you didn't decide how that way was. You either follow the Lord and honor His Word or not. And that's what we're all in this and what we're learning here and growing in. Now, in just review of this, look at your outline this morning from where we've been, and just let me give us a review where we've been. As you look at the top of it, all believers have a transformed life. It's not special believers get a transformed life, or second blessing believers get a transformed. Everybody, the minute you're saved, God imparts to you the spiritual gifts you have been given. He immerses you in the body of Christ. He gives you the Spirit of God in you, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, raised you, gave you new life, transformed life, got a new nature, new way to think. Everything that God wants you to have is there. You have a transformed life. You're not trying to get something more from God so I can actually live this. God's getting you to be dependent upon Him and follow Him. So we all have a transformed life. We've all been set free from sin slavery. Set free. The moment of salvation. We all were slaves of sin, and that's all we could do. The moment we're saved, boom, we're set free. Ability to honor God. And then he says this. In your response of worship, you offer God your life, verses 1 and 2. Then in service of God, you use your grace gifts given to you, serving the building of God's church. We've said that. It's like this. Therefore, because of God's mercy given to you, that you have a transformed life, you offer God to your life as a living sacrifice for God to lead, to guide, to shape the way you think and live in response of worship. That's verse 1 and 2. Did you get that? That's what God says in His Word is our conduct that supports is a pillar in support of the truth of God's Word. Is that in an act of worship, we offer our lives as a living sacrifice to God and say, here is my mind, here is my body, here is my will. You shape the way I live. You shape the way I think. Let me represent what transformed life looks like by the power of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You do it, Lord. That's the act of worship. That's what we've been learning. That's what we've been looking at. That's what it is. That's our life. That's our life pattern. Then in service of God, you exercise the spiritual gifts He gave you to participate in the building of His church. That's verse 3 through 8. Then you begin to live like this, chapter 12, verse 9, all the way through 15. We've been in here a long time. It's not going to change. It's not going to get different. It's going to be the same thing over and over again on whether we're going to accept, respond, and see what God has to say in His Word and start living these kind of things. We're in the midst of it all. We're all doing these, that kind of thing. But this is God's Word speaking to our lives because this is about being a pillar and support of what God says is true through faith in Jesus Christ. Holding that up, it is absolutely true. I have a new life in Christ and I'm not a slave to sin. It's absolutely true. If I surrender my life to the Lord, if I offer Him my life, He'll shape my life. He'll teach me how to think. He'll guide me, lead me, use me for His glory. And He's given me gifts and abilities to help within the church family for God to build His church, which is what Christ is doing. And when He returns, He's done doing. Absolutely true. No doubt about it by the way the church lives. And then we begin to live like this. And that's what we've started studying and what we got into and what we've been digging into. And it's been rich and wonderful and just helping us and understanding of what God is wanting us to see. We saw first in verses 9 through 21 our basic duties. First, look at verse 9. We saw this. This was our personal duty. All of us have this personal duty in this life as believers in Christ, part of the body of Christ, This is our personal duty. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Now we're to love genuinely. We're to have a strong hate for sin. And we're to be glued to what God says is good. And then we began to look at the duties that we have within the church family, verse 10 through 13. There's 10 of them there. It's not like he leaves the personal duties. Okay, now you don't have those over here. No, he adds a group of people onto the duties that we have. After this is duty to all people and then duty to our enemy. But we're right here focused on these 10 that we're in our duties within the church family. They are in verses 10 through 12. Let me read them to you again. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. It's our duties in the church family. We've been into this, and just let me review. The first one, we're to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Devoted and for each other, loving each other as family, for God has made us families, members of one another, all of that. We've dug into all of that, and we saw that God has given us a strong, real love for one another, 1 Peter 1:22. Secondly, we're to give preference to one another in honor, right? We're to be quick to give respect, quick to give honor, quick to give forgiveness, quick to give reconciliation, quick to help others in sin, quick to receive correction. This is what it is. We just prefer each other. We're given preference, and we're quick to do these things. And so we have these two things, to be devoted to each other in brotherly love and to prefer one another in honor. And the next two was, don't be slow about it, right? Remember that? Don't be slow. Don't lag behind in diligence. Be fervent in spirit, right? Love that fervent in spirit. That's going to be one of my favorite things in the Bible from now on, right? Be a boiling point believer in Christ. Have some heat, right? Right in this, right? Have some heat and loving each other and giving a preference to one another. So we looked at all of that, dug into all of that, but it's an important part of our life. I'm just grabbing all this, bringing it together so it works in our mind here. Let's not lag behind in this. Have zeal in it, intensity to act, fervent in spirit, to point five in serving the Lord. Because look at me, loving the brothers and sisters that God has given you on this earth all the way through eternity, and giving preference to the brothers and sisters that God has brought you to in the church family in honor, right? That's serving the Lord. That's what he's saying. That's what he made the emphasis. That's serving the Lord and doing it well. And we all want to serve the Lord. And anytime you serve God's people and God's church in this way, you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ because it's part of his building up his church. I read in Ephesians 4, sanctification matures us all into Christ-likeness. Do you know, speaking the truth in love, so we all grow up in all aspects of Christ, is serving the Lord. But I got to love you. I got to care about you. I got to give preference to you. It can't be about what I know or what I want to say or what I don't like about your life. It can't be. It's relational, isn't it? Are we capturing that when I'm talking today? See, it's very relational. To speak the truth in love, so we grow up in all respects, it's like, okay, so this is somebody in my life that God has given me a family kind of love for. And I don't want to say, stop it, because it bugs me. I want to say, how can I help you with where you're at? Because God doesn't want it in our life. That's totally different, isn't it? Yes, it bugs me. Yes, it gives me heartache. Yes, do I struggle with it? Yes. But this deal isn't about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, that's what he's talking about. We're a church family. He's given us this love. We give preference to one another in honor. Right? When we're not slow about it. It's serving the Lord. But then we looked at serving the Lord with the other way. We're in this and how the text is written. It's like this. We saw that serving the Lord in whatever capacity that you do, in whatever circumstance or opportunity God gives you to serve in honoring him and his word, in all you do, do not lag behind in diligence. It went that way too. Be fervent in spirit in that also. So the Christian lifestyle, the serving Christ, is to be enthusiastic and to have some heat and excitement and zeal, boiling point believer. I'm going to remember that till I can't remember it anymore. That might be quicker than we know, but what a privilege it is for God to use me, to use you, in and throughout our lives to serve the Lord. He didn't have to. Greatest privilege of humanity. And if you don't know that and don't feel that in your bones, that that's not an excitement in your life, that it's the greatest privilege that humanity can ever take part of, is to serve the Lord? I talked to Christ about it. Tell me what you could do. You can go to the moon. Doesn't matter. You could put out the number one album 100 weeks in a row. You could score 40 points in the final championship game and get the MVP. You could throw 100 touchdowns. You could sing the most beautiful song and win the what's the song thing we watch? See, some things aren't important to me as maybe they should be. The Voice, right? Right? The show, The Voice, turn your chair, the whole thing, you know, here I'm the winner, woo! Doesn't hold a candle to serving Christ. But that's got to be in our heart. That's got to be in our soul. That's got to be in there. That's relational with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen the other side. It's a waste of time, and that's what God saved me from. Now, that's me and my life and my relationship with the Lord, but there's nothing that I want to do that I used to do. Even though some of it was a lot of fun, and I was successful at hitting a baseball. Woo-hoo! It just looks so wasteful now. But God shaped me and grew me through it all. And we saw on the flow that serving the Lord in our passage, back to our outline, if you turn out your outline over, we saw in here serving the Lord is we're to be rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. In the church family, we do this together, and we saw 6 and 7 go together, be constantly rejoicing in the living hope that God gave us in our salvation, rejoice in where God is ultimately heading in the final outcome of the Christian life. We're all headed for glory. We're all headed for redemption of this body. Some closer than others. Some like, wow, I want to use this one up here, though, and I want to live this life here. That's good. Embrace it. Right? But where you're all headed is for the glory of God. We will see the full glory of God. Dwell in only that glory. Dwell in the full, fulfilled purpose of God for his creation. I will stand there next to Christ in it. Live this life with all you have and embrace everything you have, but rejoice in what awaits those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to help us in our persevering through tribulation. We dug into all of that. We are called to persevere, to always hang on to God's truth, to always seek his ways, to be constantly, continually pursuing his truth, to trust and believe in him and his goodness to us no matter what. And we saw in all this hard stuff, it's really because of God is the one who gives perseverance, Romans 15:5. He's going to get us there. He's going to get us to persevere. And as, remember, we do this together as a church family. We're dependent upon God to get us there through moving us to honor him. Just incredible truths that we're to conduct our lives on. So let me just spend a few minutes and look at the last three. Be devoted to prayer. Be constantly, continually contributing to the needs of the saints and be practicing hospitality. Now, I want you to get this, devoted to prayer, okay, is what he says here. Here's some of the language as we look at devoted to prayer that's there. It's not devoted to telling God your list, okay? It's not devoted every day that I'm committed, that I'm going to tell God my list. I'm going to tell God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for everybody in my life. I'm going to pray for these things. I'm going to pray for God. I'm going to pray for... That's not how it's written, okay? It's devoted to talking to God about your life, about your journey, about your choices, your actions, your visions, your heart's desires, your goals lining up to be with him. That's what devoted to prayer is. It's very relational. It isn't about, I got all these supplications, I got the list of people I pray for, which is fine. Pray for the people that God, Lord, work in their life. Share with them, those kind of things. Being devoted to spending time with God, talking about your choices, asking him to guide and to lead you and to grow you as you petition him and your supplication, all those, it's talking to God in a steadfast and unwavering in talking to God, and listening is the biggest part of talking, isn't it? That's what that means. This isn't ritualistic. This isn't, let's get this duty down. This is relational, just like the rest of them, you guys. This isn't something I'm going to be devoted. What I am, I'm devoted to God. He saved me. He reconciled me back to him. so I would have a relationship with him. And he seeks my dependence upon him for my good. It's very relational. That's what you ask yourself, am I? That's what you say, am I devoted to hearing from the Lord on whether I go that way or this way? Or whether we buy this or not buy that? Are we devoted to the Lord on the things that we decide that we're going to let our children do and not do? Can God lead our life in these kind of ways? Are we devoted to that? Are we devoted to calling upon him and seeking him for his counsel and his purpose and his will, for his goodness to us and his desire for us that come from our relationship with him? That's devoted to prayer. A couple of quotes I wanted to read you. Bill Thrasher, The Journey to Victorious Prayer, he writes this: you do not spend time with God, you invest your time with the Lord. Time alone with him can be one of the greatest time savers of your life. It is your time alone with the Lord that you can surrender the burden and the anxiety of the load to him. You can also find the perspective to be delivered from the truly non-essential things that overwhelm and take up all of your life. That was my quote that I put in there. He wrote, that often seem important. I thought it was stronger than that. You can find new energy and ideas and commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. George Mueller writes it this way: the primary business I must attend to every day is fellowship with the Lord. The first concern is not how much I might serve the Lord, but how my inner man might be nourished. I may share the truth with the unconverted. I may try to encourage believers. I may relieve the distress, or I may in other ways seek to behave as a child of God, yet not be happy in the Lord and being nourished and strengthened in my inner man day by day, because I don't fellowship with the Lord and pray with the results that the work I'm doing is being done in the wrong spirit. It's important devoted to prayer, but then he says contributing to the needs of the saints. Let me get to that one. This is a lifestyle of the church. This is the way we live our life. And we're to be continually contributing to the needs of the saints. He says that in verse 13. Needs. Now I want you to maybe write this down. Needs, physical and spiritual needs. That's what he's talking about. When we see needs like this, when we read that, verse 12, verse 13, contributing to the needs, and it's in the plural and it's in the active. So we continually contributing to the needs of the saints. We think of physical needs often first, and they're in here. And it's important for us to contribute to the physical needs of the saints. A lot of things that God uses us to minister to each other. I mean, the opportunity sheet, I got a sewing machine, somebody needs a sewing. All of that's just incredible. I need a ride, people give each other rides. But I want you to think about the spiritual needs this morning. Who in the room wants to raise their hand and say, I do not have a spiritual need? It's not here. We have needs every day. God's meeting them through the reading of God's word. God's meeting them through our life with him. But God is meeting them through the body of Christ always, because he called us to be contributing to meet the needs of the saints spiritually, to encourage, to help, to care, to guide, to confront, to admonish, to everything that's in the word of God on the spiritual needs that we have. You know, here's the truth. You're seeing that maybe that this way isn't the way God wants you to see that. Here's in his word how that is. We're doing that with each other all the time. See, this is our lifestyle again. This is what he's talking about. Think about right now in this room, in this week, God wants to use you to contribute to meeting the needs, a spiritual need, of somebody in the body of Christ. You ready? You available? Do you care? Well, you know, I mean, it's just real. I mean, just being real from the word of God and what he's talking to us about, what he's talking about the church. He knows you. The Apostle Paul knows you. He knows me. He knows your life. He knows what we're stuck in. He knows how busy we are. He knows everything that God's writing to us, a love letter about how we live our life, to hold up as a pillar God's truth about what it looks like with a transformed life. He knows we fall short. He knows we struggle with the things we do. But contributing is koinonia in the Greek, a different kind of form of that verb is koinoneo. It means sharing in, partnering in, meeting the needs of your church family. It's big, isn't it? It happens a lot here. Partnering and meeting the physical and spiritual needs of the church family. Constantly be a part of that to help, to encourage, strengthen, counsel, disciple in marriage, in parenting, in relationships, in loving each other, and being a Christian at work, at home, in your community, participating in the building of God's church. You are to participate on how that's going. Always. That's our lifestyle. This isn't optional. To say, well, you know, maybe. It doesn't matter that it's 2,000 years and the world's different. We got Instagram and social media and we're all kind of disorganized. It doesn't matter. God's called us to do the same thing he did to the early church. To meet our spiritual needs through each other. That doesn't change. Because technology. Paul says that in 1 Thessalonians 4, 12 through 18. I'm not going to read that today. And then you listen to this. Don't turn there. I want to read this to you in Acts 20, 32 through 35. The Apostle Paul calls the elders from the church of Ephesus, and he calls them and he tells them this. He says, "And now I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are being sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You know yourselves, you guys know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and he himself that said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive." It's incredible to receive. When I get encouraged, when I receive encouragement or help or counsel or whatever it is, isn't it incredible to receive? God's word, Jesus said, it's much better to give. Well, that takes you to be somewhere that you can give. That takes you to be somewhere in your heart, and I coveted nothing. And with these hands, I worked hard, and I just met needs, how God used me to meet needs. I don't know what they are, but I'll tell you, your life will be rich in your soul if you just say, "Lord, wherever, help me meet a need." That'll change your life. It changes the church. It's our lifestyle. That's what he's talking about, practicing hospitality. Practicing hospitality. Let's go ahead and have the ushers come up, the praise team, because we're going to take communion with this on our heart and mind. So you guys come on up, ushers come up here. They're going to pray for the cup, and they're going to pray for the bread and then the cup, and the praise team's going to play while we take communion, and they're going to do a closing song. But just think about this as we're here, and let me give you the last one. If you guys get up here a minute. See why I presented this all as kind of a big message today, because it's the life and the pattern of the church. It's because it speaks to our hearts. It's very clear. Isn't this clear? Is this clear, you guys? This is not vague, is it? This is just really clear. This is what God's word is saying. I'm not sure you guys all agreed with that, if it was clear. But he said practicing hospitality would be the last one. That means pursuing in love and kindness those you don't know. Not familiar with. Now, some people would go, okay, so we got to be kind and love strangers. And then we make strangers as somebody that's over there that, you know, is a stranger. In the context, he's talking to the church. Okay, look around the room. Is anybody in here that you're not really familiar with? Sure there is. It says, be kind and love them. Practice having them over. Practice including them in your life. Here's why he says that. It's why he talks about this way. Hospitality in the Greek means to show or receive into your life someone who is not regarded as a member of your extended family or close friends. It's showing love and kindness to someone or others outside your group. We got no groups here. We got no cliques. We got none of that. That's not what God asked us to be. He says, whoever God brings in here, whoever we are, we're the body of Christ, and who you don't know, welcome them into your life. and show kindness to them. And practice that. Because you're not in a clique or a group. You're in the body of Christ, and we belong to one another. We are of one another. It's a stronger bond than you are with your parents, you children, or you parents with your children. It's in eternity, and you can never take it away. You don't know that here yet. So here we are, remembering Christ. What he did to give us this new life, the grace of God appeared in Jesus Christ, bringing salvation to all who believe. In response, we offer our lives to him to shape our lives and how we live and think. We're serving his work by building his church, using our gifts, loving genuinely, hating sin, sticking to what's good, devoted to loving each other, giving preference, rejoicing in hope, persevering in the hard things in life, devoted to talking to God about all of it and seeking his will and guidance and partnering and meeting the spiritual, physical needs of who God brings in our life, practicing love and kindness to those we don't know with heat, fervent in spirit. That's incredible, I think. Serving the Lord, that's our lifestyle. That's the pattern for us. That's the life that he died to give. That one that we're talking about. Alexander, will you pray for the bread? And we'll hold it together and take it together.
Heavenly Father, we do just pray that you calm our spirits and humble our hearts at this moment. And pray that we just remember your grace and mercy you showed us that day that Jesus died on the cross. And I pray that in turn we will show that same grace and mercy in our lives, in the way we speak, the way we act, and the way we just interact with people and work. And for that, Lord, I am eternally thankful. Amen.
Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are up your face, oh wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. As you
as we hold the bread together and think about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us and in this life, the come down God to be incarnate, become man, and then live a sinless life. Paul wrote in Romans 6, 22 through 23, it said, but now having been freed from sin, that's all of us, and a slave to God, we derive our benefit resulting in sanctification. and the outcome eternal life. I don't deserve that. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you in remembrance of you, Lord, and the life you have given us. We eat this bread. Ray, would you pray for the cup?
Father, as we come together as a body of one, we thank you as we remember the greatest gift, your Son. As we live in your grace and love, may we turn away from the world's ways. Help us turn our former lusts from our former lusts. Let us remember we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. May we walk in a manner that will show the world the greatest love ever, your grace through your Son, that we may have eternity with you, which starts the moment we put our trust in your Son and proclaim he is our Lord and Savior. In your Son's name, amen.
Jesus, be the center. Be my source. Be my light, Jesus.
As we take this cup in remembrance of you, we think about the forgiveness that it purchased between us and God, and we think about how we fall short of what we just were talking about today. But that same forgiveness reaches out in all of that. And what forgiveness breeds is love, response, respect, honor. That's what it brings in our lives when we forgive one another. It brings a love in our life. It breeds an encouragement to each other for us to do better, and that's what we desire, Lord. Not that we be perfect, none of us will, but that we would each day get up and try to embrace what you have for us for your glory. So we do this in remembrance of the life that you gave.